Well, we just about finished lesson 17 yesterday. I think there was one more comment to make in section 133, and we've already really talked about it. But on page 104, it's just that, as we point out in passing section 123, the forms of the present and the imperfect middle are the same as the forms of the present and perfect passive. In the interpretation of such forms, we must be guided by the context. So we've talked about this already. If contextual evidence is not decisive, we are usually safe in understanding the forms as passive, since the middle voice is comparatively rare. So just making a judgment, if the context isn't sufficient and you have to try to make a decision, kind of a guess, your guess is most likely to be correct if it's passive, since it's used more frequently than the middle. But that's not always, you know, you hate to be in that position where you have to. Probably the best thing to do in a case like that, if it's a real critical point of exegesis, is recognize the possibility of both and analyze it both ways and see which fits the tenor of Scripture the best. You know, rather than, you know, if, in other words, if your immediate context isn't sufficient, then the more reliable way to go than just guessing would be to say, well, let's take it middle, let's take it passive, which fits the best general tenor of the Scripture the best. And if they both fit the general tenor of the Scripture, then they're probably both true. You know? As the Holy Ghost could make, you know, if he didn't want them to be true, he could get enough refinement to make the difference there. Okay.
Fine.
Yes?
In the final conclusion, if the middle is semi-rare, then it would only make sense that when the Holy Ghost does use it in obvious, that he really wants you to pay attention to it.
Yes.
You don't hear very much, you know, especially in commentaries and whatnot. I mean, they just kind of gloss over all that kind of information for the most part. I don't know, there's some Lenski does.
Yeah, it depends on the commentator. Some of them that are more oriented toward the languages will draw attention to these forms if they feel like it really makes a difference. But part of, I think, the problem is that a lot of the commentators don't have quite the same view of inspiration, and even the evangelical ones, they don't seem to be as concerned with the detail of the way the Holy Ghost puts the Word of God together and really looking carefully at these forms. So that's oftentimes the reason for glosses like that. Or even if they point out the forms, they many times don't elaborate very much on it. So I think that's just a general tendency because of attitudes toward the Word of God. See, many of these are denominational Christians whose theology is already set and cast in creeds, you know. And it's difficult to see a lot of innovative and creative type thought applied to some of these passages, because there's always that fear of becoming heretic, you know, and you've got to be orthodox. So that's a hampering factor, whether it's conscious or unconscious. I think that gets involved to some extent. Of course, then there's other people on the opposite extreme. They'll make all kinds of wild allegations about, you know, the strangest and non-existent things, and invent Greek rules and all kinds of things that you get some extreme ones on that side too. Okay, let's look at lesson 17 exercises then, see how all this fits together. see if we're understanding what's happening here. 17a, give the aorist active, middle, and passive forms corresponding to each of the following present active forms, and retain the person number of the given form as the model supplied. All the forms in this exercise are regular, and tense is involved, although some phonological modification of consonant stems is necessary. So he tells you outright that these are regular, except for the phonological changes, of course. And those are considered regular because we can predict what the changes will be. Okay, the model form he gave you is luomen, first person plural. Aorist active would be elusamen, and the aorist middle would be elusamatha, and the aorist passive would be eluthamen. Number one, then, pistues would be in the aorist active what?
Epistusas,
right. Augment, and adding sigma to the epsilon, upsilon, ending the base, vowel base, and then alpha, sigma, ending for your second person singular. So we want second person singular forms all across the board here. Aorist middle would be then what?
Epistuso,
right. Accent there because of the long suffix, omega suffix there. And then aorist passive?
Epistuthes.
Theta added to the base there, and then eta sigma for your ending. Okay, number two, baptize. You should have for the aorist active ebaptise or ebaptisen, optional nu. Sigma there because of the zeta changing to sigma, and then your epsilon or epsilon nu ending. Aorist middle should be ebaptisato, alpha tau omicron for the ending, ebaptisato. Aorist passive, ebaptisthe, theta eta for the ending there. And of course sigma before the theta there because of the phonological change again. Number three, doxazete, second person plural now, should be edoxasate, edoxasate. Your zeta again, final zeta is changing to sigma for the alpha type endings. The aorist middle should be edoxasaste, edoxasaste. Now your ending is alpha, sigma, theta, epsilon. There's no optional nu on this form. And edoxasthete for the aorist passive. Edoxasthete, theta, eta, tau, epsilon. Is there ever any questions on a form? Be sure and raise your hand. Number four, pempusin should be epemsan. So your phonological chain, change the P ending is becoming, or I mean the P ending of the stem becomes C. And then you get your aorist active endings. Epemsato for the aorist middle. Epemsanto, excuse me. It's alpha nu tau omicron. And there's your third person plural for the aorist middle. And the aorist passive should be epemphthesan. Epemphthesan. Now that's epsilon P, epsilon mu, phi theta, eta, sigma, alpha, nu. So you get a phi-theta combination here because the P before the theta is going to get phonological change to a phi according to that rule, that chart that we had on page 102. Okay, number five. Arxo should be erxa for the aorist active. You got the augment with the, on your alpha, which changes it to eta. You have a chi ending, which is going to become a xi now with a phonological change with that sigma. And then you get your alpha ending here for your first person singular. So erxa should be the form. And then for the aorist middle, erxamen, eta rho xi, alpha mu epsilon, excuse me, alpha mu eta nu, erxamen. And the aorist passive should be erchthane. Eta rho chi, theta, eta, nu. Again, the phonological change of the, well, in this case, there's really no change. The chi just stays chi. Okay, because we did start out with a chi in the first place. Number six, diokomen should be edioxamen, epsilon, delta, iota, omega, xi, alpha, mu, epsilon, nu. And the aorist middle, edioxamatha, so your alpha mu epsilon theta, alpha mu epsilon theta alpha suffix. And the aorist passive, edioxthemen, and epsilon delta iota omega chi theta eta mu epsilon nu. Okay, any questions on any of those forms? Yes,
number
Bryce.
Four,
number four.
Aorist passive.
Mm-hmm.
Phi, beta?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't see where you got the phi.
Oh, the phi? Okay, if you take a look at page 102, there's a chart there that tells you that before the theta on your aorist passives, there are phonological changes. And P, beta, phi, or P, tau will become, plus theta will become phi, theta. So, in other words, it comes from the P. See, the stem had, it was pemp, P, you know, see, P epsilon mu P, the P on the end there got changed to a C on the aorist active and middle.
So you're but it, to the
what was that? Yes, yeah, you have to go back to, you have to look back at the present. Yes, you'd have a problem if you look to the C. You have to look at the present base to decide what this phonological change is. Don't look at your aorist base because, you know, your aorist active and middle because it'll be a different phonological change. So you have to go back and recognize that that was a P to start with and that P has changed now to a phi before
so
the theta.
If all you had in the context was just your aorist middle, you mm-hmm. would have a little trouble.
Well, you might have a little trouble, but as it turns out, You would, if you knew the rules well, real well, you wouldn't. In other words, suppose you saw something that had C now. Suppose you saw epsilon, and you were trying to decide, now, how would I make this error pass? And you saw C there. And you're wondering now, I suppose you could have a problem if you didn't recognize this was an error's form, but you should recognize it from the endings and so forth. If you recognize the endings, then you'll see a C on there. You'll know that that's probably the result. That's almost certainly the result of either a beta or a P or a phi or something, or a P tau on the end of the stem. Now, if it's a beta, phi, P, or P tau, then even if you don't know exactly what it is, you'll know that all of those become a phi before the theta. So if you're making an error's passive, see, in other words, those phonological changes are the same on the same letters. The same letters get changed. So even if you can't figure out exactly what the present base was, you can usually tell what is going to have to be in the error's, if it's a first error's passive. See, if it's not a first error's passive, even, for example, Grafo had a phi. And in the aorist, it became egrapsa for the first person singular. If you looked at egrapsa, you might predict then that the base had, you know, if you didn't know for sure, it probably had either a P or a phi or something. And you would expect egraphthane for the aorist passive. But it's not, it's egraphane. It's a second aorist passive. So assuming that it's a first aorist passive, see, there's a lot of variables involved in here, and you can't always know for sure. That's one of the reasons why the grammarians have invented the concept of principal parts, so that we can learn these principal parts for given verbs. Next year, second year, part of your vocabulary will be taking that chart in the back of the book here on principal parts, and we'll take a few of them at a time and have quizzes on the principal parts so that you can learn those major, most important verbs and their principal parts. Because there isn't a whole lot of other ways to do it. It'd really be, you know, you can't predict all the time, especially when you get these aorist forms. If all we ever had to look at were, say, present and imperfect forms, we wouldn't have to worry too much. You'd have one base and everything would be nice. You'd have a few irregularities, but you could handle those. But because we've got so many tense ideas, and some of them are more irregular than others, it forces us to this principal part concept. Okay, any other questions on any of these forms in this 17A exercise? Exercise 17B, fill in the blank spaces in the table below with the missing forms. Okay, now they're not necessarily just giving you the present active form, but they may give you one of the other forms and have you infer it backwards. So, the number one, they give you the aorist middle, elusas the. So from that, to parse the form as it's termed, you can infer that this is an aorist middle form from what verb? Would be the dictionary form of the verb. Yeah, luo with omicron upsilon, yes. Okay, because your sigma is added to the base and then your asta is an ending and the epsilon in the front is the augment. Okay, so that would mean then the present active would be in the second person plural, luete, lambda, omicron upsilon, epsilon, tau, epsilon. So luete is what you want in the present active. Aorist active would be elusate. So alpha tau epsilon ending, aorist middle you're given. The aorist passive would be eleutheta. Just adding the theta to the base and then adding your eta type endings, and the second person plural would be eta tau epsilon. Yes.
Question on this one: if you didn't know that verb, how would you know if it was luso or ludo or something like that? Because they would change
yes.
the sigma.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Just knowing that it's middle,
yeah. You just have to, a certain amount of this does involve just recognition of the verbs. And since you've only had a limited number of verbs from which to choose, you know, they're assuming that you're going to make the right conclusion. Yeah. But you see, that's a good point. If you had a sigma there, there are several these phonological changes. The dentals all ended up with a sigma. So the face might have ended in a theta. The base might have, you know, could have been lutho or it could have been ludo or something like that and still come out this way. So it isn't an exact science by any means. Okay, you get a certain expectation after a while, but sometimes you're still. If you see, it's impractical to memorize all the vocabulary in the New Testament, you know, in a class like this. So you're still going to run into some verbs when you're doing your translating and so forth that you haven't seen before. And in those instances, you may have to make some guesses. Now, usually you'll know the range of guesses that can be made, though. And so you'll be able to find it real quick when you look it up. It can only be a few, you know, there's several possible, you know, types here, you know, three or four possibilities here. And one's more probable than the other, usually because it's more common, and so you look that one up first. But if you're surprised, if it's not there, don't give up. It may be someplace else. That's something important to remember, you know. Because you could make some wrong conclusions if you said, well, I looked up, you know, luo, and there's no such verb. So can't be, it's probably not there or something, or you know, I don't know what this is from. Try ludo, try, you know, try several of these other possibilities that would result in the same phonological change. And then if you're still bat zero, get out the, you know, you can cheat and get out the analytical and find out what it is. All right? But in some instances, there may be, it's conceivable there may be a debate about some of the forms, too, as to which they came from. But see, I don't know if there's any verb ludo or lutho or something. There may be no verb that exists that way. Most likely there's not. Okay, present active form of number two, pyrazete. Or peirazete, aorist active would be epeirazete, off a tau epsilon ending, and adding the augment and the sigma, or changing the zeta to sigma more accurately. The aorist middle, epeirazete, alpha, sigma, theta, epsilon ending. And the aorist passive, epeirazete. Theta, eta, tau, epsilon, last letters of that one. Questions, anyone, on that? So that one's just a zeta stem here, a dental stem. So you're getting your sigma change there. And then before the theta, it also changes to sigma. Okay, number three, they give you the aorist active, ebulusan. So the present active form would be buluusin. Or buluusi, optional nu on that form. So epsilon upsilon omicron upsilon sigma iota nu. And the aorist active they give you, the aorist middle, ebulusanto, alpha nu tau omicron, ebulusanto, it gets a lot of diphthongs there. And aorist passive, ebuluthesan. So this one's simple, just a vowel stem, so you can add the theta right to it and then add your ending, eta nu, eta sigma alpha nu. Number four, dioxin becomes nearest active, a dioxan, alpha nu, and your kappa is changed to sigma, changed to xi with the addition of the sigma. Aorist middle, a dioxanto, alpha nu tau omicron, again third person plural ending. And edioch theisan, your chi theta eta sigma alpha nu. Okay, the kappa is going to change to chi before the theta. Okay, questions, anyone, on that? Number five. Now they give you the aorist passive in this one, epistutheisan, and that's a nice vocalic ending again, so you just added the theta and your ending. So going back to the first form, you should have pistuusin. The aorist active should be epistusan, alpha nu ending. Aorist middle, epistusanto. Okay, and then number six, archomen should become erxamen, eta rho, because eta because of the augment now, eta rho c alpha mu epsilon nu. The aorist middle, erxamatha, alpha mu epsilon theta alpha. And the aorist passive, erchthamen. Eta rho chi theta eta mu epsilon nu. Okay, any questions on those forms? These forms aren't too bad as long as you remember all your paradigms and remember all the changes that take place. That's all there is to it. I will admit recognition is a lot easier than construction of the form. So, okay, put an X, exercise 17C, put an X in each appropriate space below, imitate the model. This is just a matter of parsing the form then. So luate has second person plural, present, active. So they give you those. So basically what you're telling is person, number, and the tense, and the voice. And And the mood is, these are all indicative, so we haven't dealt with mood yet. We'll get to subjunctives and imperatives and things like that later on, so then we'll have another label to put on this. We'd also call this indicative mood, all these form. Okay. Number one, pistuses should be what person? Second person, singular, future, active. Right. Second person, singular, future, active. There's no augment on it. It's got a sigma on the base. And second person, singular suffix. So second person, singular, future, active. Okay. Number two, il pistete. What would that be? Person?
Second.
Plural. Aorist passive. Aorist passive. Okay, good. That eta is a tip off, and also the theta is too, although the theta is not always there in those forms. Number three, egrapsan would be what person?
Third
plural, aorist active. Right, third person plural, aorist active. Ebaptisamen, what person? First singular, aorist middle. Good. First person singular, aorist middle. Okay. In analyzing forms like this, there's several things. There's morphemes here that are telling you different pieces of information. And your basic aorist idea is coming from, there's several cross-checks. You know, you've got the augment, which lets you know they're either looking at an aorist or an imperfect. So that's giving you past tense information. You've got the base change of the addition of the sigma. That's giving you information that it's aorist as opposed to imperfect. And then you've got your suffix, which is giving you information as far as person and number. And it's also giving you more refined information. Again, it confirms the tense idea because of the set of endings, confirms the fact that it's aorist, and it also tells you that whether it's active, middle, or passive. That information has to be gleaned from... See, there's nothing about the base of the verb or the augment that will tell you whether it's active, middle, or passive. The voice has to be determined by the suffix itself and the recognition of what set of suffixes that particular suffix belongs to. Okay, number five. Estrephan, would be what? It's third person, singular plural. Singular. And the tense? Imperfect. Active. Okay, didn't give us very many imperfects here. But. Okay, number six. Ekthesan would be what person? Third. Plural. And aorist passive. Okay, aorist passive. One of the easiest forms to recognize of all forms is aorist passive. Not one of the easiest ones to form, but one of the easiest ones to recognize. Number seven, doxazusin would be what person? Third person, plural, present, active. Right. Third person, plural, present, active. Number eight, hetoimasamen would be person, first, plural, aorist, active. Right. First person plural, aorist active. Number nine, therapue would be person, third, singular, tense, present, active. Active voice. Number ten, eliponto, and they tell you the base here because you really need to know that, from lepo. And so that tells you you've got a base change. So what's your person and number? Third plural, okay, and tense. Okay, you would think it was imperfect, but it's not. It's second aorist, yeah, so it's aorist middle. Aorist middle. See, that's the reason they told you the base of this thing, so that you'd know that it was aorist instead of imperfect. And otherwise, it would be imperfect. What was that? Yeah, it's an imperfect type of ending, you see, but remember, your second aorist, in the middle and in the active, take imperfect type endings, but there's a base change. So that's the reason why I told you that the base... Now, if the base of the verb was lipo, then it would be an imperfect form. Because remember, the endings are the same for your imperfects and your aorist, as far as the second aorist is concerned. Second aorist takes imperfect endings. But that's, of course, only in the active and in the middle. in the passive, your second aorist take the same endings as the first aorist, those ada type endings. So that's maybe one thing is convenient. You don't need, if you got an aorist passive form, you can tell it's aorist passive whether there's been a base change or not because of the endings. But if you've got an aorist middle or an aorist active form, you can't tell whether it's an imperfect or an aorist unless you know whether or not there's been a base change. If there's been no base change, it's imperfect. If there's been a base change, it's aorist. So that's one of the trickier areas. Number 11. Buliusomen would be what person?
First
person, plural, right? First person, plural, and tense? Future, active, right. Added the sigma to the base, but no augment, so it's future. Okay. Number 12. Esosa would be first person, singular, and tense? Aorist, active. Okay. Number 13. Pyrasete, or peirasete, excuse me, should be what person? Second person, plural. Tense, future, active. Okay, second person, plural, future, active.
Is there a passive or middle for future?
Yes, there are, and they're coming up in chapter 18. Yeah, they're not too bad, though. Take heart. The endings are nice, and the future middle, you already basically know how to make. You know, all you have to do is take the future base like this and add those present, middle, or passive endings. But in the future, has the future passive has the same endings. There's just an interesting stem change is all we have to learn there. So they're not too bad. Okay. Number 14. Etakthes would be what? Second person and what? Singular. Yeah, second person, singular. Tense, aorist, passive. Okay. And ekalupten would be what person? Third person?
Singular.
Singular. Imperfect, right, active. In third person, singular, imperfect, active. Okay. Not an aorist because in the imperfect third person, singular ending, both the aorist and the imperfect endings happen to be the same ending, epsilon with optional nu. But there's been no sigma added to the base here. This p tau, you know it's got to be imperfect. Okay. 17D then. Transform the sentences with active verbs into sentences of equivalent meaning with passive verbs. This is where the fun comes in. Now you've got a lot of other things to remember in transformations here as well as the verb. Retain the tense of the verb in the given sentence, but adjust the person and number if necessary. We've seen this has been necessary in the past in dealing with passive transformations because now you've got a different subject. And with a different subject, it may not be the same number and a person that you saw in your original sentence. So you have to keep aware of that as well as the transformation. I guess he's telling you retain the tense, so you don't have to worry about tense change. But you have to transform from active to passive. Okay, number one, hoimate tai ebaptisan ta tekna. Okay, the disciples baptized the children. So we want to say the children were baptized by the disciples. So first of all, what kind of a form are we going to need? What kind of a verb form, tense and voice, are we going to need for that? Aorist passive, right. Since we're dealing with aorist here, it's going to have to be an aorist passive form. So we want ta tekna ebaptiste hupo ton mate ton. Ta tekna ebaptiste, that's an ada ending, hupo ton mate ton, the expressor agent. Ton mate ton is with omega nous, genitive plural. So ta tekna ebaptiste hupo ton mate ton. Any questions on that? Yes. Oh yes, I used a singular just because that's customary. Yes. So if you wanted to use the third person plural ebaptiste son, that'd be fine. Yeah, no problem. Okay. So you can either use the third person singular or third person plural for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on it?
What would be the ebaptiste?
Let me just check something here. Oh, ebaptis. No, it would have to be ebaptisteson if you had it in the passive. You've got to keep it as passive. But you should have ebaptisson. See, that would be an active form. You have to make it passive. He starts out ebaptisson, and you want either ebaptiste, making a third person singular passive, or ebaptisteson, third person plural. See, ta tekna. See, just the peculiarity of the fact that you've got a neuter plural, which very often take a singular verb. So this is just that peculiarity of neuter plurals. So it's either singular or plural, but it's got to be passive, aorist passive. See, we want to say the children were baptized by the apostles. So to be were baptized would be ebaptisteson, plural. But the peculiarity is that you can use a singular for a neuter plural. So it's almost like he was baptized. To use the singular form. Okay, any other questions on that? Okay, number two, ho apostolos epempsenme. Okay, any brave volunteers that want to give us what the passive transform of this would be? So the apostle sent me. We want to say I was sent by the apostle. Yes, Steve?
Ego epempsen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hupo to apostolou.
Yes, good. Ego epempsen hupo to apostolou. And you don't really need the ego there. You know, you could just say epempsen hupo to apostolou, but you know, ego is there for more emphasis, and especially it's kind of good for you to practice transforming these pronouns back and forth too. So, ego epempthein hupo to apostolou. Any questions? Okay. So we just needed an aorist passive form, first person singular. Now we've had to change the person to number, or person anyway, because of the fact that what was once the object now has become the subject.
What are we? Do we go to a dinner?
Yes. To indicate the agent or the one who performed the action in a passive transform, you take what was the nominative thing in the previous sentence and turn that, use a preposition hupo plus the genitive. Hupo takes the genitive here. Okay? So we're having to convert the case there. So you're getting lots of exercise, and these transformation sentences are really lots of fun because you get to do all kinds of things, learning about your, you know, with your cases and word order and all kinds of things. Number three, edioxater humes tus prophetas. Okay, so you pursued the prophets. So we want to say the prophets were pursued by you. Plural. And yes, Mark?
Hoi prophetai edioxeson humon.
Yes, right. Hoi prophetai edioxeson huf humon. You remember, hupo gets that elision there when comes before this humon, and you get a fee there for coming before a rough greeting. Good. Hoi prophetai edioch theson. That's epsilon, delta, iota, omega, chi, theta, eta, sigma, alpha, nu. One third person, plural, aorist passive form. And huf, humon, omega, nu, suffix. Good. Number four. Hemes hetoi masamen tas ecclesias. Okay, you prepared the churches. So we want to say the churches were prepared by you. Glenn? Okay. Hetoi mas theisan. Did you get? I don't know if you. Verse? Okay. Yeah, there should be a sigma in there. Hetoi mas theisan. Remember, because it was hetoi mazo to start with. You had the zeta changed to sigma, dental stem, and before the theta, of course, that sigma really kind of stays there. So hetoi mas theisan. Good.
Is that
an
eta in the front?
Yes. Hetoi mas theisan. Yes. Yes. Excuse me. It's hetoi mas theisan, because this is, you know, it's the augment makes that thing an eta.
I was presuming that was an added sigma.
Oh, yes, okay. I see what you're saying. Looking at the form you had there, you might have thought it was just hetoi ma'o or something to start with. As it turns out, an a'o type verb is what we call a contract verb, but it does some funny things. So, of course, there's no way you have of knowing that at the present time. So you had to make a guess. No, No. There are some verbs that could theoretically... Well, no, I guess you'd never see that. You'd always get a sigma with those alpha-type endings. But there are places where you could potentially get a... You know, we already had, like, pistuusin, for example. We had epsilon upsilon, then we had omicron upsilon for the suffix. You get a few places like that. But with verbs that end in a-o, e-o, or o-o... There's three classes of verbs called contract verbs, and they're coming up a few chapters from now. We see some vowel changes that take place where you combine two vowels and another diphthong takes its place. So you get a few little complications there. There's another little handy chart for you to memorize to learn what all those phonological changes are. Okay, but yeah, admittedly, you wouldn't really have any way to know. You just have to remember it was hetoimadzo. I think we did we haven't had that in vocabulary, I don't think, but we had it in a few exercises or something. So if you didn't remember where it was or what, you just have to kind of guess. And now that we go through it, I can tell you what the right answer is. All right? You do have a tendency to remember those forms when you get them wrong, too, though. Okay. Unfortunately, you're not graded on the exercises. Well, at least not directly. Yes. Okay, just the verb form of the whole thing. Okay. Hi ekklesiai hetoimasthesan heuf hemon. Hi ekklesiai hetoimasthesan heuf hemon. Omega nu there on the ending of hemon. Okay. The churches were what did it start out with? Hemes, yeah, it should be hemon. Hamon started out Hamas, so yeah. See, Humon would be you, and Hamon would be us. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. All right, now you know how copyists make errors. Okay, number five. Nomus egrapsan hoi anthropoi. Okay, so the men wrote laws, so we want to say laws were written by the men. Okay, Army? Good. Nomoi egraphthesan. Excuse me, egraphthesan. There's no theta there because this is a second aorist. They threw one in there just for fun. I can see by my, when I did it originally, I put a theta there too because I crossed it out since there. So it's easy to make a mistake on this. This is a second error, so the theta doesn't appear. So, nomoi egraphason, no theta, egraphason, hupo ton anthropon. Okay? Yes, egraphason. You would have expected egraphason, but it happens to be a second aorist. And because of that, you don't get the theta. That's the only difference, really. In this particular one, anyway. Right, just a fee. Mm-hmm. And they should have a chart here someplace to give you that one. Page 101. Yes. Right. That's just the first aorist there. They didn't give you. Okay. Yeah, I knew it was there someplace. Otherwise, you wouldn't. Okay. Yeah, on page 103, you have a chart, you've got four second aorist passives listed. Grapho is the first one. That's the most common one you'll run into. That's why this one shows up all the time here. So, egraphane, you can see there the form. They give no theta before the ending. And thlibo is another one, thlibane, and kokto, and krupto. And none of them get thetas. Okay, so you might underline that in your mind, you know, grapho is a second aorist passive. Even though it's a first aorist in the active and middle, you know, it's a nice regular verb otherwise, but in the aorist passive it just happens to be second aorist. Okay, number six, ego ekusa tas phonas auton. Okay, I heard their voice, so I want to say, you want to say their voice, or the voice of them was heard by me. Any takers on that, Mark?
Hi, phonai, auton, ekus, thesan, hupo, mu.
Okay. You could say hupo, mu. You normally use the accented forms on these. I think they mentioned that to you. So just hup and mu would be what you'd want there. Hup and mu. And you get an elision and use the accented form. So hi phonai auton ekustesan hup emu. Okay. Huh? Yeah, you dropped the sigma off. In this case, though, you probably had some you might have had more justification, I suppose, because this. See, akuo. Yeah, see, akuo, what you would have expected for an aorist passive is just the addition of theta. See, remember, what does luo do? It would just be like you would expect it to be like luo and not have a sigma on it, just have a theta. For aorist passive. See, the regular aorist passive doesn't add a sigma, it just adds a theta on. And so this is an irregular aorist passive. This is an irregular first aorist passive. Yeah, and I'm trying to find it was given someplace. Yes, first one on page 102. And the irregularity is that it does have the sigma there. You wouldn't normally expect that for an aorist passive. You'd expect the theta, of course, but you wouldn't expect the sigma. So it's an irregular first aorist passive. It's first aorist passive because the theta is there, but it's irregular because the sigma's there too. Okay. Ekustesan, eta, kappa, omicron, upsilon, sigma, theta, eta, sigma, alpha, nu. Okay. He's throwing these at you one after another here, so you kind of get a... You either get intimidated totally, or you start getting it. One of the two. Okay. Number seven. Esosen ho kurios tus doulos autou. Okay, so the Lord saved his slaves. So we want to say his slaves were saved by the Lord. So how would we? Anybody want to take a chance on that one? Yes, Hans. Good. Esothesan, right? Esothesan. And that's also irregular because now where you expected a sigma, you don't have it. So they did. I'm sure he did this on purpose. When gave you six and seven, because in six you didn't expect a sigma and you got one, and in seven you expected a sigma and you didn't get one. You expected a sigma because the verb started out sozo, and it had a zeta, and the normal pattern is zeta before the theta becomes sigma. It's one of those dental stems, but in this one you don't get the sigma. So it's irregular first aorist. It's still first aorist because of the theta is there. Yes. Oh yes, yes. That's another good point. Right. There's no iota subscript. The present has an iota subscript, and I guess that's an irregular for the aorist and so the actives as well. But that's a good observation. If you notice on page 102, sozo has an iota subscript on the omega on the present form. But in the aorist form, it has no iota subscript. Good point. So this spelling should be epsilon sigma omega with no iota subscript, with no sigma, and theta eta sigma alpha nu. So hoi douloi autou esothesan hupo tu kuriu. Good. Any other questions? All right, number eight. Ho paulos ekeruxen to evangelion. Paul preached the gospel. So we want to say the gospel was preached by Paul. Any volunteers there? Yes, Daniel? Good. Hoto evangelion ekeruchthe hupo tu paulu. Okay, good. And ekeruchthe, went third person singular, aorist passive. So we get... epsilon, kappa, eta, rho, upsilon, chi, theta, eta. Okay, and that's pretty much regular, I guess you could call it. You'd have a phonological change, but it's otherwise regular. Okay, the double sigma types, of course, go to chi before the theta. Number nine, autoi edoxasanse. Okay, they glorified you, singular. So we want to say you were glorified by them. Anyone else on that one? Yes, Steve.
Sue edoxastes.
Yes. Sue edoxastes hupauton. Good. Su edoxastes hup auton. And you keep the P here because it's a smooth breathing on the vowel following. So hup auton. Number 10. Hutos hostratiotes epeirasen humas. Okay. Yes.
Humes epeiras theta theta.
Yes, hupo tutu tu stratiotu. Okay, good. Yes, humes epeiras theta. That's again the sigma theta eta tau epsilon. You do have the sigma there. It was peirazo to start with, so you keep the, well, this is zeta changed to sigma's dental stem. Hupo tutu tu stratiotu. Okay. So you were, I think, put to the test or tried or something this by the soldiers. Okay. Any other questions on those forms, on those transformations? Okay, then 17E was just a matter of predicting what, taking the active, middle, or passive to render the reading there. So right in the line provided it, write the form of luo, bathe, which correctly translates the verb and sentence before it. The model is I am bathing, so it'd be luo mai. You want the middle form there. Number one, the children are bathing. What are you going to look for there? First of all, what do you want, active, middle, or passive? Well, yeah, they were bathing something, they're bathing their dolls or something, then it would be active. But assume if they're bathing, in other words, without any further qualifications there, you're assuming they're doing it to themselves. So you'd want a middle form here. The children are bathing, just like I am bathing. So the children are bathing, you want middle form. And so your verb form would be then what?
Luontai.
Yeah, luontai, luontai. And since children in the Greek happens to be ta tekna, you might also see luetai too. You might see a singular verb form too. But luontai. Okay, the children are being bathed by their sister. So what verb form would occur in that sense? The children are being bathed by the sister. What, first of all, being bathed by the sister, what idea is that? Active, middle, or passive?
Passive.
Passive. Okay, they're receiving the action. All right, and what would the form be there?
Luontai.
Yeah, luontai. Same form. Because remember, in your present, you've got no difference between the active and the passive. I mean, the passive and the middle forms. Context has to decide the difference there. And here the context will be decided by the presence of the agent clause there. Okay, number three, we were bathing, using an imperfect form here. We were bathing. So we want a first person plural middle form, present middle form, or excuse me, imperfect middle form.
Eluomatha.
Yes, eluomatha. 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 So epsilon, lambda, omicron, upsilon, omega, mu, epsilon, theta, alpha. Okay, number four, we bathe, using an aorist form now. What would that look like? Yeah, Steve?
Elusamatha.
Yes, elusamatha. Elusamatha. Yeah. Okay, number five, we were bathing the children. Okay, well, what, first of all, what voice would that be? Active, middle, or passive? We were bathing the children.
Active.
Active, right, because we're performing the action upon the children. Okay, and so we're going to use an active form, and that would be then what? Imperfect active. Yes, eluomen, eluomen. Just your good old omen ending, but with the augment. Eluomen. Epsilon, lambda, omicron, upsilon, omicron, mu, epsilon, nu. Okay, number six, we bathe the children. Same thing here, we want an active aorist form. So what would that be? Yes, Mike? Oh, you have a question?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This, as I heard this, it seemed like they were asking for, because just using the verb bathing, they were asking for middles all the way through.
Oh, I see.
You can see where they put it
mm-hmm.
there, too. I actually ended up doing them both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't understand it all the way through.
Yeah.
I went back and did it again. But,
yeah. It is kind of tricky because the word bathing is the very, it's just the way that in English it's used in different contexts. And some, you know, you're performing the action of someone else. Now, a person could say, well, they're bathing the children because it's in the parents' interest to have children, clean children, you know. So it's
well,
possible.
To get out of that reflexive idea and get more to what they said, there was a real meaning in the middle
mm-hmm.
For the benefit of, you know.
Sure.
live.
Sure. Well, see, the way you'd have to decide that, in English it's a little bit difficult, you know, because you don't know for sure what's being read into it. In Greek, you might see, you know, you could tell in the Greek by whether they used an active form or a middle form. And there's differences between the active and the middle. In other words, if you've got a direct object, and you've got a middle, if you've got a form that looks like either middle or passive, you know, like in the present form, you know it's got to be middle. It couldn't be passive or you wouldn't have a direct object. But if it's a middle form, then you're going to be reading something as far as the performer of the action is concerned. If the Greek uses the just an active form, then of course you wouldn't be seeing that. So it's a little bit easier in Greek because the Greek has more precision on this issue. But in English, you have to make a decision. Now you go from English to Greek, and you're saying, well, do I want a middle form here, or do I want an active form? So what I would say is, unless there's something really strong in the context that indicates otherwise, we were bathing the children, for example. Let me just tell you, if this ever shows up on a test, assume that if we bathe someone else, you know, if we do this to someone else, we're meaning an active form. It can be ambiguous, though. You know, you've got a point there as far as it's concerned. A Greek construction may use a middle in some cases. If the children, if they were being bathed in the very direct interest of their parents, so forth, that it's possible that they might use a middle. Okay, so it's not real obvious here. We bathe the children. We'll just use again elusamen for number six here, assuming it's active. And we were being bathed by our sister. I think part of the reason I assume this is because you want to get a contrast between active, middle, and passive. You want to get all three of them in here. So we were being bathed by our sister. There you want a passive form. So eluomatha, imperfect passive form. Okay. And we were bathed by our sister, an imperfect aorist, an aorist passive form, eluthemen, omicron upsilon theta, eta mu epsilon nu. We have bathed, and we'll assume that this is a middle because there's nothing else added there, and more of a reflexive sense. Elusamatha, alpha mu epsilon theta, alpha. Yes. What was that? Oh, we bathe and we have bathed, none. None in Greek. It should be the exact same form. See, in English, the difference is between just a simple past and a perfect. But in Greek, both of those are most likely to be aorist. It's just that English and aorist are, you know, English and Greek have different systems there. We will find a form, though, where we have bathed might be a perfect. You know, if you're trying to say we bathed in the past and we have an abiding clean result from it, you know, then you might use a perfect form in Greek too. Okay. It's just that what happens is that English and the Greek aorists are translated in English by both simple past and by perfects. So we're kind of stuck with that. Then, in other words, from what you have now, you'd have to translate that aorist. You don't know anything else to put there. Later on, you might have to put a perfect there if I made that distinction. Okay, number 10, the children let themselves be bathed. Okay, this is that causative or, you know, a sense of a middle. So you want a middle form here. Elusanto. Or maybe elusato if you were looking at children being either plural in Greek. So
that's not passive construction?
No, let themselves be bathed isn't passive because what you have is, if you said the children were bathed, that would be passive. But to let themselves be bathed involves this, there's a concession on the part of the children themselves, so they have some part in the action. They are not the performers of the action, but they are allowing the action to be performed. So there's a consent there, there's a will, there's a decision, you see. That's the sense in which they're seeing this.
In English, wouldn't that be passive?
In English, it would be.
It doesn't carry.
Right. We use a reflexive pronoun and then use a passive form. That's the way English does it. But in Greek, they would use this middle voice for that kind of an idea. Okay, well, tomorrow we'll look at lesson 18, future middle and passive and deponent verbs and the verb ame. Lots of interesting little tidbits there. So you may just want to look ahead in chapter 18. There's no assignment, of course, since we haven't got there yet.